Well, the title of my message this afternoon is The Seconds of Eternity. And how sad it is that the majority of Australians today do not think about eternity. They don't think about the implications that we are made by God to live forever and ever. We have an eternal God that is the Creator. Isaiah 57 verse 15 says, "For thus says the High and Lofty One, that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is Holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." The Bible teaches us that God is eternal. Psalm 90 verse 1. "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." The Bible is quite clear that God has had no beginning and he will have no ending. When you understand the Bible, you understand that we are created in the image of God. When a person is born, they go on for all eternity. Average Aussie thinks that you die and that's it. But that is not the case. Every human being will inhabit eternity somewhere. Unfortunately, we have the deception of evolution, which is taught in Australian schools. Sadly, there are even theo-evolutionists. They're in pulpits, and they're teaching about evolution as well. And evolution has caused major destruction in Australia. Because there are many people that believe in evolution, and they think that we aren't a creation of God, and that when we die, we're going to just cease to exist. What does the Bible say? Genesis 2 verse 7. "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." The deception of humanistic evolution completely ignores the fact that you and I are a creation of God made in his image, and in his image we're going to live forever and ever and ever. When Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he made it very clear that we are body, soul and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 21. Paul said, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." The moment that you and I were conceived, we became a living soul, and we are going to inhabit eternity forever. Psalm 139 verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." I used to teach high school scripture, and I taught in a high school for 5 years. And one thing I used to say to my students was this. I used to say to them, "Where will you be in 100 years? They'd do the calculations if they were 17-year-olds. They knew that they'd be 117 in 100 years' time. And I'd throw that out. Where will you be in 100 years? Because according to the Bible, you're going to be alive." And then I'd go and talk to them about eternal things. How sad it is that our nation does not talk about eternity very much. How sad it is that many people just believe that when we die, that's the end. You know, if you believe the lies of humanistic evolution, then we cease to exist the moment we go to the grave. If you believe the lies of humanistic evolution, then there's no accountability to a creator God. If you believe those lies of humanistic evolution, then we are a cosmic accident, an accident of evolution. And then if we're just an accident, it means that human beings can do what they want because there's no accountability to the God who made us. How sad it is now in Australia that the most dangerous place for many babies is the mother's womb. Isn't that terrible? You know, we have something called Red Nose Day in Australia. It's for sudden infant death cot syndrome. And they work hard at that to try and work out why babies are dying. And they say that there's 3,200 children that die unexpectedly. Very, very sad. What about the children that die deliberately? Let me just give you a few figures. Between 2010 and 2014, an estimated 56 million induced abortions occurred each year worldwide. That's on a yearly basis between 2010 and 2014. That means 6,392 babies worldwide die every hour. That's from an organisation called emilysvoice.com, not Emily's List. In 2015, 63,200 abortions occurred in Australia in that year. 63,200. When you think about World War II, over 27,000 Australians were killed in the years of World War II. Twice that many babies were killed in 1 year in 2015. Shame on our nation. When a nation denies the evidence of creation, and when a nation denies that there is an eternal God who made us, then the hearts and minds of the people of the nation are darkened. Romans 1 verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Have a look at this. If you willfully kill a koala in Queensland, you can face a penalty of up to $300,000 or 2 years in jail. If you kill a snake in Australia, in the Northern Territory, there's a maximum penalty of 5 years behind bars or a $77,000 fine. We've got new trees planted in streets just near us, and they've put cages around these trees and they've put signs on the cages. On the cage, the sign says that there is a maximum penalty of $1.1 million according to the Land and Environment Court if we damage one of those trees. $1.1 million. I can show you the trees after the conference. But think about this. In the state of Victoria, if you willfully allow the death of hundreds of newborn babies in medical facilities in Victoria, there is no penalty because those babies were destined for abortions. I read to you from the Sydney Morning Herald, stated this on the 4th of August 2019. The Herald states in Victoria between 2009 and 2016, there were 304 babies who were born alive in the abortion process who were then left to die on the operating table. They go on and they say this: the New South Wales bill, that's the abortion bill that's up, the New South Wales bill is based on the Queensland model, which in turn was based on the Victorian laws, so the situation in that state is a relevant case study. Now, this is not the Christian Herald, this is the Sydney Morning Herald stating the facts. The Herald also stated the case of one doctor who had a conscientious objection to abortion, and he was reported to the Australian Medical Board. He had to defend himself. In his defence, he said this: I am unable to refer for an abortion because reason and logic lead me to conclude it is murder. That's the doctor that objected, and yet he was in trouble. From the Sydney Morning Herald, the 4th of August 2019. What does the Bible say? Matthew 18, verse 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. If the majority of a nation does not believe in an eternal God of whom they will give an account, then you can understand how many people just agree with murdering babies. And not only babies, but now old people. We are on a slippery slope. When a nation denies the word of God, then it's easy to deny life. When a nation denies God's laws, then it becomes easy for a nation to make their own laws. When the Creator God is removed from the picture, then there are no absolutes. Judges 17, verse 6. Talking about the nation of Israel, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Today we're seeing that in our society. When God is not king, when God is not acknowledged, then no wonder we see a society in Australia where wrong is right and right is wrong. If you deny that there's an eternal creator, then you deny that he has a will and that he has a design and that he has a purpose for humanity. Our nation recently changed the definition of marriage. When I was a boy, I would never ever have conceived that the government would allow men to marry men and women to marry women. It would never even have entered my mind. Romans 1 tells us what's happening. Romans 1, 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonour their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. You know, we are living in days similar to the days of Noah. And the Bible tells us that when Jesus returns, they're going to be exactly like those days. The imaginations of the hearts, the imaginations of the people in Noah's day were evil continually. Luke 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah, that's talking about Noah, entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. When Jesus comes back at his second coming, it's going to be like the days of Noah and the days of Lot. The people in the days of Noah ignored the fact that judgment was coming. The people in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah were absorbed with sexual immorality. Think about the day and age that we live in. Does the average Aussie believe that judgment is coming? Does the average Aussie believe that they are accountable to an eternal God? Does the average Aussie believe that they're actually going to live forever and ever? The majority don't. They live for the present. We are made in the image of God, but even today, the image of God is under attack. Genesis 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Not only today do we have homosexual marriage approved by the government, but now there is a transgender agenda. And the transgender agenda wants to legally eliminate male and female distinctions. In the news recently, the Tasmanian government made gender optional on birth certificates. Children 16 years and older can apply to change their registered sex without parental approval. That's from the ABC. Now, this is ridiculous. A child at the age of 16 can apply to have their gender changed. 16 years and older. What if the parent objects? Could it be that the parent might be charged with child abuse down in Tasmania? It's ridiculous. What sort of apple juice are the Tasmanians drinking? You know, right around the country, it's mandatory that farmers keep records of their cattle, gender records, whether they're male or female, and now we're saying human beings don't need to have a gender. Ridiculous. Imagine going to the sale yards and the guy's at the sale yards and he says, here we have the gender is not revealed at the moment, but the big looks like a bull, smells like a bull, snorts like a bull, but I'm sorry, we're not going to name it. We don't want to cause offence. We wouldn't do that with animals. But can you imagine the Melbourne Cup saying that there's no distinction between stallions and mares? How did Australians ever get to the place where they believe that children can change the gender that God gave them at birth without their parents' permission? How did they get to that position? It's Romans 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You've heard of the Safe Schools program. It's in a number of Australian schools. One Safe Schools website has promoted a book called The Gender Fairy. And the Gender Fairy book is designed, you can look at it on Amazon, it's designed to be read to four-year-olds and upwards. It's designed to be read out at school to children. And this is what the book tells the little children. Only you know whether you are a boy or a girl. No one can tell you. Designed for four-year-olds and up. So that means mummy and daddy can't even tell you, according to the Gender Fairy book. Mummy and daddy can't even tell you whether you are a boy or a girl. Inside the book, it says this. It takes a community to raise a child. That's a lie. It takes a community to raise a child, And it took a community to put this book together. It goes on and it says, "For transgender children everywhere, may your path be smooth and your diversity celebrated." Is it true that no one can tell you whether you're a boy or girl? Remember the good old days in the Labor wards? I was there for my four children. Judy went through all the pain. And at the end of the pain, the doctor would say, "Congratulations," or the midwife would say, "Congratulations, you've got a beautiful boy," or "You've got a beautiful girl." They'd celebrate. What do they say now? Well, they say in here, "It takes a community to raise a child." This is dangerous. Which community do I let raise my children? Do I let the government community? Perhaps the school community? Perhaps a minority group community? Which community? Who's meant to raise the child? Well, it's the parents, of course, and not the village, and not the state, and not the community. It doesn't take a village to raise a child. It takes a family to raise a child. Parents are to instruct their children. Proverbs 22 verse 6, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it." Ephesians 6 verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." Now, what's interesting about the Gender Fairy book is that Ros Ward, who is an Australian Safe Schools coordinator, she is one of the contributors to the book. And Ms. Ward has a degree in gender studies. Ms. Ward, also, according to the Australian newspaper, is a Marxist. If you understand Marxism, then the normal family unit is an enemy of Marxism. In the Marxist state, it is the state that instructs and controls the family. This is what the Australian newspaper said on June the 4th, 2016. "The queer gender theory that much of the Safe Schools program is based on is about breaking down the heteronormative view of the world and the natural binary view of sex. It is destructive of the natural family." That's the Australian. The Guardian says this. It's reported on Ros Ward, and it's reported on her actions in 2016. The Guardian says Ros Ward posted a picture of the LBGTI flag flying above the Victorian Parliament last week with the comment. This is her comment. "Now we just need to get rid of the racist Australian flag on top of the state parliament and get a red one up there, and my work is done." She's contributing to a book to be read out to four-year-olds and older. There is today an agenda to destroy the family. When you destroy the family, you destroy the children. When you destroy the children, then you destroy the society. When you destroy the society, then you destroy the country. When you destroy the countries, you begin to destroy the world in the preparation for a peacemaker, that is the Antichrist. There is a world agenda today to bring absolute chaos to the countries of the world, with the long-term view for the world's nations to submit to this future peacemaker. In Australia, many are deceived because of the belief in evolution. In Australia, many now are deceived in their understanding of what it means to be human. The transgender agenda is an attack on God, because we are made in the image of God. It's an attack on God, and it's an attack on his creation. Sadly, it's not only in secular society that's promoting the lies of the devil, but now the church is promoting the gender agenda. A church in Newcastle this year has advertised a transgender workshop. You can see the ad on the internet. It was advertised for Saturday, June the 15th, 2019, at the cost of $15. I didn't go. I'm assuming that it did take place. It says, Christianity and transgender people. Then it talks about the presenters. Joe and Penny will help us think about gender identity and the Christian faith. They will share how they see the Christian tradition forming a framework for a positive appreciation of transgender. Joe is Australia's first open and recognised transgender minister. Now, Joe was a man who now dresses as a woman and is married to a woman. And Joe and her wife are now both lecturers at a theological college. So what we had here in Newcastle was a man who identifies now as a woman, along with his wife, both sharing in a Sunday service. How confusing would that have been for little children? A man dressed in women's clothes sharing at a Sunday service here in Newcastle. How did that happen? Well, 2 Timothy 4 verse 3 says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables." The Bible says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?" 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." 2 Timothy 3 talks about the perilous times, and it talks about traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. 2 Timothy 3 verse 13, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." 2 Corinthians 11 verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Who would have thought 30 or 40 years ago that the government would have endorsed homosexual marriage? Who would have thought 30 or 40 years ago that the churches, a number of churches, would be endorsing homosexual marriage? Who would have thought that the government would have endorsed the transgender agenda? Who would have thought 30 or 40 years ago that churches would be endorsing the transgender agenda, which is an attack on the character of God, and it's an attack on human beings made in the image of God? I believe that this world is rapidly heading towards the tribulation period. You need to look at all the signs around us. Daniel spoke of that. Daniel 12 verse 1, he said, "And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time." Jesus spoke about the tribulation period. Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I believe what's going to happen is that there's going to be a seven-year tribulation period. At the end of that seven-year tribulation period, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come at his second coming. In the tribulation period, there is going to be strong deception and there's going to be strong delusion. And I believe today, as we're heading towards the tribulation, we're not in it, but as we're heading towards the tribulation period, we are seeing strong deception and we are seeing strong delusion. And in actual fact, in the tribulation period, God is going to send strong delusion on those people that have rejected Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 11. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I want to ask you this afternoon, are you saved? If you're not saved, you might soon find that you go into the tribulation period, the worst time ever in human history, a time of great chaos, a time of great deception, a time of great delusion. If you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, then the Bible teaches us that we are going to be taken out before the tribulation periods. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 9 says, "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." The book of Luke says, "Two women shall be grinding together." They're working at a mill. "The one shall be taken and the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left." 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 16, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." How sad it is today that the majority of Australian Christians sitting in church on Sunday have no idea about the rapture of the church, have no idea about the coming tribulation period. It's very sad. They're not getting people ready for the rapture. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uppertaker, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you saved? If you're saved, there's going to be a time where we leave this earth in the rapture. Because our nation has turned away from the Bible, our nation has turned away from the truth. When the nation turns away from the truth, then a nation is on a slippery slope to destruction. Psalm 9 verse 17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." We as believers today are in an enormous spiritual battle. We need to be putting on the whole armour of God. When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, "Put on the whole armour of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Eternity is at stake for millions in our land. We are created to live forever and ever. There will never be a time where human beings ceased to exist. Our bodies will die, but our soul and our spirit will live on for all eternity. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as Saviour, you're going to get a new body at the rapture of the church. Not only saved, the unsaved are going to get a resurrected body as well. A resurrected body that they're going to suffer in for all eternity. Daniel 12 verse 2, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Remember in Luke chapter 16 where the Lord Jesus spoke about the rich man and Lazarus? The rich man lived the good life. Lazarus lived the poor life. And there's a great contrast about the eternity of these two men. When the rich man left this earth, he entered eternity. But in the next seconds of his life, he was in terror, he was in turmoil, and he was in torment. And the Bible says in Luke 16, verse 22, "And it came to pass that the beggar died, and that was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." The second after he died, this man ends up in terror and turmoil. This man is in agony. As you read Luke chapter 16, you find that this man becomes evangelistic. He wants his brothers to be told about what's happening to him in hell. But it was too late. The rich man's in hell now. He's been there for thousands of years. And he wished he would have told his brothers. Do you know it's estimated? Now, this is not including abortion figures. It's estimated that 107 people die around the world every minute. And you know, the majority are going to a Christless eternity. 107 people every minute are going into eternity. That's nearly two people every second enter either heaven or hell. Two people every second going on to eternity, either with the Lord Jesus or as rejecters of the Lord Jesus. If you're a Christian, you immediately go into the presence of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 8. "We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Those believers in the Lord Jesus Christ at their death go into the presence of Jesus. And at God's appointed time, and I believe this will happen after the rapture of the church, at God's appointed time, they go before what is called the judgment seat of Christ. Christian, it matters how you live. It matters for eternity's sake how you live. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as Saviour, you're going to heaven, and that's wonderful. But it matters how you live on this earth, because God is going to reward us. He's going to reward the faithful Christian for their service on earth. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." I believe the judgment seat of Christ will happen after the rapture of the church and before the second coming. When you read the book of Revelation in chapter 19, you see that the bride comes back and she's rewarded. So as you look here, the church age is represented. At the end of the church age, the last church is the Laodicean church. The last church is a lukewarm church. Gives you a bit of an idea of the age that we live in now. Then there'll be the rapture of the church. Then there'll be the Bema seat, which is the judgment seat of Christ. Then there'll be the second coming. While the judgment seat of Christ takes place, there'll be the 7 years of tribulation. After the second coming of Christ, we have the 1,000-year reign, which is known as the millennium. At the moment, when an unsaved person dies, they go to hell, which in the Greek is known as Hades. And there they wait until they're brought up to the great white throne judgment. And you'll see that after the 1,000-year reign. They're just waiting there now. The rich man, he's waiting for the final judgment. We need to keep in mind the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is for rewards, not salvation. At the judgment seat of Christ, Christ will examine the life of the Christian for rewards. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burnt, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to go before the judgment seat of Christ. Your sin has been dealt with. Thankfully, isn't it wonderful when we appear in heaven, we know that our sin has been dealt with because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, died on the cross of Calvary. He poured out his blood. He paid the redemption price for our sins. We are set free. But we go to the judgment seat of Christ for rewards. Now, there's a number of things, and I haven't got time to go through them, but there's a number of things that we're going to be rewarded for at the judgment seat of Christ. Let me just give you a couple of things. Do you know you're going to be rewarded if you're persecuted? You might say, great, get out there with the tracts. If you want to be persecuted, just start handing out tracts. Hand out the tracts because you're going to get rewards. Look at this, Matthew 5 verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, the Bible says. We need to think about the fact that we need to be evangelizing people in this world, because people in this world are going to a Christless eternity. The majority in Australia are going to a Christless eternity unless you or I, who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour, do something about it and trust the Lord for the results. We need to think that we get rewards for loving our enemies. Luke 6 verse 35, but love ye your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So you're going to get rewarded for persecution, rewarded for loving your enemies, rewarded for showing compassion to those that are in trouble. Hebrews 10:34, for ye had compassion of me in my bonds and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. We're going to be rewarded for preaching the gospel with a willing heart. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 16 and 17. We're going to be rewarded for planting and watering. But Paul said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labour. For we are labourers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Some of us plant, some of us water. There are some seasons where we plant and water as well. Are you planting the gospel? Are you watering the gospel? Are you taking a person aside and explaining to them what the Bible teaches? That's watering. It's watering the seed. Some of us will plant, some of us will water. Someone planted a tract a year ago, and now they come to church and we're watering. Planters and waterers. We're going to get rewards for that. Are you planting God's word in people's lives? You know, there are numbers of things that we can do in heaven that we can do on earth now. On earth, we can give praise to God. In heaven, we can give praise to God. On earth, we can give thanks. In heaven, we can give thanks. On earth, we can communicate with God. In heaven, we can communicate with God. On earth, we can admire God's creation. In heaven, we can admire God's creation. But there's one thing on earth that I'll never be able to do in heaven, and that is witness to the lost. That's the one thing that I won't be able to do. This is the time to witness to the lost. This is the time. There are lost people everywhere in Australia, and there are millions and millions around the earth. 30 billion years from now, you and I will be alive in eternity. Ever thought about that? 30 billion years from now. And 30 billion years from now, it won't matter about the degrees you had. In 30 billion years from now, it won't matter what sort of career you had. In 30 billion years from now, it won't matter a bit what sort of house you lived in or what sort of car you drove. 30 billion years, who cares what career you had? Who cares what house you lived in? Who cares how many degrees you had? What's going to matter in 30 billion years' time? What is going to matter in 30 billion years' time is if you love the Lord Jesus with all your heart and you sought to win the lost. That will matter in 30 billion years' time. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. How did Jesus love the Father? Jesus loved the Father by doing his will. Jesus worshipped the Father every day. He was in fellowship with the Father every day. But in part of doing the will of God, he went to the lost. Jesus, at the age of 12, said, I must be about my Father's business. The Lord Jesus said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. John Wesley, who rode 250,000 miles, says, you have one business on earth, to save souls. C.T. Studd, that famous cricketer, said, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Are you using your time, your talents and your treasure? Are you using them for yourself, or do you have an eternal view to use what God has blessed you with to serve him now? Paul said, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. As every man hath received the gift, this is 1 Peter 4, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Life has many choices. Eternity has only two, heaven or hell. Can I ask you, where will you be in 30 billion years from now? Is the Lord Jesus Christ your Saviour? We are sinful, God is holy. There's a great chasm between us and God. But the great news of the Bible is that God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We have a mission field, and we need to see it. The Lord Jesus said, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. There is a harvest field of souls out there that need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour. I started with this verse from Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I will dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. There was a minister called John Ridley, and he was preaching in the 1930s, and he was so moved by that verse, he said this, eternity eternity. I wish I could sound or shout that word to everyone in the streets of Sydney. You've got to meet it. Where will you spend eternity? Arthur Stace was present. He walked outside, a man that had formerly been a drunk. He walked outside. He was a cleaner at the time. He had a bit of chalk in his pocket. And miraculously, he drew eternity on the footpath outside, and that became a call for him to ministry. And for 500,000 times, it's estimated, he wrote that word on the footpaths of Sydney and other places around Australia. For 35 years, he reminded people of eternity. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And your word tells us that each person here is going to live for all eternity. And Lord, for those of us that know Jesus Christ as Saviour, help us to remember, Lord, the necessity to go out and to seek and to save that which is lost, just like your dear Son did. Help us to have an eternal vision like your Son. And help us, Lord, to have a passion for the lost in the light of eternity. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The world is certainly entering into a very dark place. You know, when you think about some of the words that have been said, babies in the womb are in the image of God. So when they go murdering that baby in the womb, it shows you just how dark the world is becoming. So as Christians, we need to be diligent. We need to be earnestly praying that we can continue to meet like we are today, that we have our freedom. That is slowly being taken away from us. All those values and standards that we have been taught from the Bible, they've been taken away. So we need to be at prayer that our freedom to meet like this will stay.